Hi, this is Ray Barry, and welcome to the Audio Wave Cafe podcast. On this episode, my guest is Paul Willow, singer with the Scarpions, a two-tone ska band based in the northeast of the country. First, I talk about, is TikTok changing the music industry? And I'll be shining a spotlight on when the British invaded America. I'll also be playing a new single, Northern Gods, by the Scarpions. Let's move on. As an artist or band, maybe you promote your music on Spotify, YouTube and Facebook. So do you really need the added hassle of increasing your social media presence by signing up to yet another platform? I'm talking about TikTok. I thought it was strictly a video-based platform for young teens. All those kids are still there, but so are record companies and artists like Ed Sheeran, John Mayer and Nile Rodgers. Could it be those savvy guys are onto something? About 25% of TikTok users are aged between 18 and 24. 20% are aged between 30 and 40. And the over 50s, well, they are at 10%, and that includes Sir Rod Stewart, God bless him. What the hell is TikTok? Well, it's a video-based social media app that allows users to create and share video clips. The few I've seen range from 3 seconds to 2.5 minutes. You can also write a short paragraph describing what your video is about. And if your viewers like what you have posted, they can click on a button to follow you and also send it to friends, share on WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter and other platforms and see how they are interacting with their audience and succeeding. Once you have signed up, experiment with a few short videos of you performing a song, or even a clip of you falling out of the group van. Well, I think it's funny and I would share it with my Facebook friends. It seems like almost anything goes on TikTok. Because of its fancy pants algorithm, TikTok gives every video submitted a chance by making your video available to a small group of viewers. And if those viewers like or share your video, it'll be made available to an even larger audience. And these small steps can snowball, setting up a staggering number of views. And so the momentum builds, and before you know it, you're a TikTok sensation with record companies begging you to sign with them. So it can't hurt to do some research. There are many websites that post helpful articles on how to use TikTok for artists and bands. Then you can make an informed choice if it's something you want to get involved with. Because this TikTok fad will continue to grow over the next few years. Now a lot of musicians have already jumped onto that bandwagon. Check it out. What's to lose? My guest today is Paul Willow, singer with the Scarpions. Formed in Darlington in 2013, they play, and I quote, a divine ska of northeast two-tone ska. Paul, it's great to have you join me on this call.
Thanks, Ray. This is wonderful. Thanks for asking me.
You're welcome. How many are in the band?
At the moment, there's 7. It has been 9. It has been 8. It has been 10. So
Do you have a big van?
We used to. We need one. I know that. No, we're travelling separate at the moment because the van we used to have has gone. So at the moment, we're in individual vehicles at the moment. But we're looking to get a new one.
I assume the band would only be playing venues in and around, say, Darlington and Middlesbrough. But you've also toured in Europe, and in 2019, you embarked on a 2-week tour of the US. How did that happen?
That was crazy. 2019 was a fantastic year all round for us. It was the American tour came from, we did a gig in Middlesbrough and we did one of our popular songs with people, is Cradle to Grave, which is a song basically just about being a ska fan all your life, basically. And on the video, it was just filmed on somebody's mobile phone in this venue in Middlesbrough, only a small venue. And the guy put it on Facebook. And I thought, oh, this sounds good for a bunch of old blokes. Not bad. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And I thought, great. But then an American guy came on and said, oh, they don't play ska like this in America. So I said, well, you know what to do then, don't you? Bring us over. And then the next thing I know, the following day, I get a private message on Facebook and from the guy who'd posted. And then by the end of the day, we're having a 3-way conversation between different promoters in different parts of America. And then it just snowballed from there. It's crazy. You know, it was one of them things where we thought we were talking about it and until you actually do it, you don't realize it's even going to happen. I know it sounds weird, but that's you know what I mean?
That's amazing.
It was amazing.
Are there any standout moments from that tour?
Oh, so many. I think the two of the main things, I think, were when we played the Whiskey A Go Go in Hollywood, West Hollywood.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, it's a world famous band. You know who's played there.
Yeah.
And we played there and headlined there. So we drove up and we even hired three special American, or the big cars, what they call them, Dodge Challenger cars, V8 engines. So we drove up in these cars and just living the dream. And then we pulled up and, you know, they've got this big advertising hoard above the door which shows you what bands are playing. And we were there headlining. I was like, crazy, absolutely crazy. And they looked after us and, you know, and then they took us to somewhere to eat up the road which was Lemmy's Bar, the Rainbow Grill. But that one, and then I think the last gig of the tour, which was in Brooklyn, was packed out and it was, I feel like the world was in there. There were so many different, you know, races and you know, it was just fantastic. There was, you know, everybody was there and everyone was having such a good time. And we finished on a high. We really did.
I believe you also released a documentary of it.
We have, yeah. We had somebody who came around with us and bless them, they never had their cameras out of their hands, you know what I mean? They would stick it in your face at 5 a.m. when you go up to catch the plane. You know, we'd travel to a gig and get there and do our set. Then, because in America, nowhere's close, really. You know, so you're travelling back is 4 or 5 hours. So we get back, we'd get home for about 3:30 a.m. And then we had to be up at 5:30 for the plane. Adrenaline. That's what we lived on for 2 weeks. Yeah.
It must have been a feel-good moment when in 2018, your song Scapone's A Go-Go knocked the Specials off the number one spot in the reggae charts.
But yeah, you know what I mean? It was the way music is nowadays. You know, you're not number one for long. You can be gone from number one within hours. But we were there for about a day and a half, 2 days, which was great. And that was, what was their song? Vote For Me was out then. That's what it was. Vote from the Encore album. So it's a little bit, yeah, very surreal and very strange and, weird.
Weird indeed. It's Cosa Nostra Records, your own label.
It is, yeah. I mean, we totally believe in doing things our own way, right or wrong, good or bad. Whatever we do is whatever we choose to do. The idea behind the label was to help other Northeast bands just to get music out there, really. It's because we've been that busy, we've not had a chance to sit down and do it, but maybe next year, as we move into our 10th anniversary, we're going to look at maybe doing, you know, like a celebration of Northeast music, you know, whether, don't know what sort of genres, it could be any genre, all genres, ska, punk, I don't know, you know. So it just gives an outlet to local bands.
That's really interesting, being so helpful to local bands.
Well, I mean, the way music is, you know, the way music is nowadays, it's so splintered and, you know, and it's sort of dominated by the three, like the big companies, Universal, Sony and BMG and people like that. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great, great, great bands, not necessarily ska bands, of all different genres out there that are just getting missed and left behind and would probably be appealing to a national public. Do you know what I mean? But they're just not getting seen and not getting heard. And, you know, and I think, and that's just, and it's such a crime, really. I mean, I listened to the Top 40 the other day, and every song sounded the same. Seriously, it's not an all. What was not an all man thing? That was the truth. Do you know what I mean?
I believe it. Yeah. Just like everywhere else in the country, COVID has had a big impact on live bands. Where to gig? Places shutting and never reopening again. I guess. Yeah. As well.
Yeah. Well, we had that, yeah, absolutely. You know, the government's rescue package was absolutely abysmal when you think how much money live, you know, venues can bring into the economy. I think it's billions, but, you know, they were offered something like 1.25 million, which great if you it's great if you're the Royal Ballet and whatever the world. It's great though, but you know, small venues here, which have always been, you know, sort of the staple for bands to go to in the Northeast and stuff. I've never opened again. And it's such a shame. We played a gig up there at this thing called the Brewery Tap, where they had this big outdoor area with a big outdoor stage. And they had a stage indoors, a digital screen, and it was part of a brewery and everything. Oh, they sold it all off.
Oh, yeah.
And it's stuff like that you could never replace, you know.
That's right. So Scorpions once missed out on being selected to play at Glastonbury. How did that happen?
Yeah, we tried so many times just to get into Glastonbury. It doesn't matter how or shape, way or form. We've tried everything. And I think possibly we don't have enough punch by not having our own management and people, you know, so you don't get picked up. And I'm supposed Glastonbury will get inundated. But so we thought, well, let's try something else. So we entered a competition to play at the Pilton stage. And thousands entered it. And then it was you whittled down and whittled down and whittled down. And then you go to the live finals. And we got to the last final, which was actually held in Glastonbury, where I met Michael Eadis.
He was lovely.
And we were up against a lot of Ed Sheeran types and things like that, which eventually won, unfortunately.
What, a lot of acoustic guitars?
Loads of it, yeah. And there was like, you know, we come out of the traps at 100 miles an hour, and Michael Eavis comes and he says, "Oh, you're very much like Madness and stuff, aren't you?" I said, "Do you like Madness?" He says, "Yeah." I says, "Well, put us on then." So he just laughed at me.
Maybe one day.
One day.
Yeah. I love the band website.
Thanks.
There's a lot of thought gone into it, and I encourage all artists and bands to check it out.
Thanks.
In your store, not only do you sell hoodies and T-shirts, but pump shoes complete with a band logo. I'm very impressed.
Very impressed, yeah.
Do you sell much stuff?
We sold quite a lot, believe it or not, during COVID, which was a great thing because obviously I spent a lot of time. Because another thing that happened during COVID is a lot of bands folded. We embraced the sort of lockdown thing by getting involved with virtual stuff, you know, so recording at home and videoing it. And then we would take part in virtual festivals and things like that. But we did little gimmicky things like, I would say to our producer, "Have you got that track there? Yeah, we'll take the vocals or let's do an instrumental. We'll sell it for a quid." Do you know? Extended version or something, you know. But we raised a lot of money. And everything we get goes back into the band. So it goes back into recording in the studios and for buying out, because we pay for our own production of vinyl and CDs, you know. We do all that. It's not a money, it's a money maker. But everything goes back. So it just goes round and round, but back into the band.
You're obviously a hardworking band. What motivates you?
I think people, because when people believe in you or turn up to your events and have a good time, buy merchandise, leave lovely, kind messages or comments or anything like that, I think that's what it's all about. It's a good question, that, because it probably, you know, for me, it's about getting out there and believing what we do and taking it to the wider audience, really.
Can you tell me anything about your new single, Northern Gods?
Well, I mean, Northern Gods somebody reviewed it recently and called it a call to arms, which it really is in a sense. It's political, it's anti-government, it's how cheesed off we are with the way the North has been dealt with by those in office in the South and how we've been let down so many times. You know, obviously we had to cope up here with the red wall, as they call it, in the general election being demolished, and every, you know, people you wouldn't expect voting for the Tories voting Tory, and they've been let down. You know, even now, you know, they've realised, oh God, we've made a right mistake, and you know, just talking to people, they're having a nightmare with them. But so it's about that, and it's about saying, you know, because there's so much wonderful things in the North. I mean, it's obviously the same around the country, but I can only talk about the Northeast, and it's a beautiful country, a part of the country. It's got beautiful people, lots of hardworking people, and you can see people wanting to do well and just being held back all the time. And basically your song's about, you know, one day the North will rise and be good again, I suppose.
Very laudable. I like that. What more would the band like to achieve?
I don't know. Never really thought about it, to be honest. We just bumble on. We have this hashtag thing called Our Own Thing, which is what we do. We don't look what anybody else is doing. We don't, you know, we just plow our own furrow, really.
So, like Northern Gods, would you like that to be, say, a nationwide hit in the charts?
Yeah, it'd be nice. It ain't going to happen. but it is going to happen. But, yeah, it would be nice. Anything like that. For it to be picked up and listened to would be great. But, like I say, the music industry is so splintered nowadays. It's a lot of retro, you know, it's all about tribute festivals and looking back over, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, is original music really a thing anymore?
Well, from what I've noticed, looking on the website with agencies, that around here in the Midlands, there's a heck of a lot of tribute bands, not just ska, but there's hard rock and ABBA type tributes.
Well, what gets me more than anything else is up here, like in Newcastle, we've got No Two Academy and things like that. And that's where all the big bands used to go, and you would go see them and stuff like that, and original bands. But now it's just full of tribute bands all the way. And it shouldn't be like that. You know, there's a million bands out there. There's a million bands in Coventry. There's a million bands in the South who want to play these places. And the reason music can't move further forward is because they're getting stifled all the way across the board. And don't get me wrong, tribute bands and cover bands have their places, not a problem. Of living side by side, that can work. But come on, you know, as promoters, I understand promoters need to make money as such and to make things work. But listening to stuff that was recorded 40 years ago all the time is not going to do anything for in the long run at all.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great thing that you're flying the flag for playing original music.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think especially in the ska scene, scene is a scene for its, you know, it's what it is that it moves forward all the time. You know, you got the Specials brought on the original ska from the 60s and changed it to something else. And then in the late 80s, we had another British ska boom with more poppy ska bands that were pretty much underground, like the Hot Knives and the Loafers, who were really big and massive underground scene. It was huge, but didn't break out. But then, and then of course, then you've got different types of ska. You know, you've got ska, punk ska, coarse, kate ska. There's so much of the stuff. And that's the way it goes. And that's because kids have taken up listening to, you know, I've listened to the Specials, and then whatever's going on around them as well. They've been, you know, so say they're listening to Blink 182 or whatever it is, then they bring that in, and that's where it all comes from. And that's how things move forward. You know, if you don't keep moving forward, that scene will stop.
I like Blink 182. Are there any important events happening with the band this year?
Well, we're going on tour with the Beats, Dave Worthy and the Beats 40th anniversary tour. We start in middle of June and goes right through to the end of July. So we're playing some fantastic venues up and down the country. We're playing two nights at the Cavern in Liverpool, Manchester, Guildford. There's six of our events. There's other bands supporting them, but we've got the most dates. We're playing on 12 dates, and five or six of them are sold out, which is great.
But you're not coming round here then?
No, unfortunately, Coventry's been taken by Mr. Byers from the Specials, Roddy Radiation. God bless him. He's a lovely friend of mine. He's lovely.
Ah, right. Paul, I wish the Scarpones continued success. Many thanks for being my guest. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Take care.
And you. I'm not really talking about an invasion, more a cultural phenomenon. When 58 years ago, the young people of America suddenly couldn't get enough of British pop music, fascinated by the clothes and hair that came with the artists and groups from across the pond. At first, many American parents were outraged. American teens loved it, rebelling against their parents' attitude, who, having barely recovered from Elvis Presley's gyrating hips, which seemed so tame now. Since the mid-50s, the American music establishment had been smirking about the British pop scene, where many bands and artists would take the easy option of copying an American top 20 hit and bringing out what the Americans considered was inferior copies. Crucially, it was rare that any British single would make it into the top 100. Then, on the evening of the 11th of December 1963, 15-year-old Marsha Albert wrote a letter to disc jockey Carol James of WWDC radio station in Washington, D.C. It was about a Walter Cronkite feature story on TV the previous evening by a group in England called the Beatles. Impressed by the group's performance of She Loves You, Marsha wrote, and I quote, "Why can't we have music like that in America?" Less than a week later, Carol James brought Marsha into the radio station to introduce another Beatles song, I Want to Hold Your Hand. By early 1964, I Want to Hold Your Hand was number one in the American charts. The Beatles had, from that moment, opened the door into the American pop charts, and other artists and bands soon followed, and in doing so, brushed aside American artists such as Fabian and Bobby V. What the Brits were doing was basically recycling American R&B, country, blues and rock and roll, and adding their own unique interpretation. Ego American teenagers couldn't get enough of artists and groups like Dusty Springfield, the Dave Clark Five, the Animals, the Kinks, and of course the Beatles. Some American acts crumpled under the British onslaught, never regaining their previous popularity. Even Elvis Presley's career suffered. That initial so-called invasion lasted about 2 years, and gradually many American acts adopted British influences and began to steadily take back their own charts. But that door never shut again to British acts. By the end of the 60s, Cream, Pink Floyd, The Who, Led Zeppelin, and many others had successfully established themselves in America, and they were there to stay. Now it's time for the new single by the Scorpions, with Paul Willow lead vocal, Mark Wilson guitar, Dave McNiff keys, Michael Larkman drums, Bots Brown tenor and baritone sax, Ben Chinnery trumpet, and finally Kev Watson bass. Northern Gods. We'll be right back. That was Northern Gods by the Scapones, and many thanks to my guest, Paul Willow. On the next episode, my guest will be Bob Jackson, singer, songwriter, guitarist, and keyboard player in bands as diverse as Indian Summer and Badfinger. I'll also be talking about mental health and musicians. Is it a problem? And I'll also be shining a spotlight on Coventry band The Enemy. Is there something else? Nah, I'm done. Till next time.